Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
I think day by day, he's getting better day by day. So is everybody. If you say day to day, then any given day, he could be ready to go. Day by day, he's just incrementally improving. And I think that's an intentional use of buy, not to.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
To a rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down at his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu. And,
Andy Gresh.
You're all, very, very concerned. So the best news that we could get is that everything is checked out, that he didn't have anything more serious than a concussion. He'll be flying back with us here on the plane.
Rich Keefe.
Whoever it is, our coaches and everybody that handled that and make a good decision. I do what I do every week. I play defense. And so as long as I can suit them up, that's what I'm going to do. And I ain't going to worry about that other stuff because I really can't.
Gresh and Keefe right now.
At the end of the day, we all got a job to do. So, you know, nobody's really caught up in who's playing or who's not playing. You know, I think it's best for everybody to just be focused on their job and, you know, doing whatever they can to help this team be successful.
On WEEI.
Oh, boy, do we got a lot to unpack before we get to the Patriots and the Packers on Sunday. We had a hell of a Thursday night football game, but I don't know if it was so much the game itself, but it is riddled in controversy, Andy Hart. One final day for Hart in here. We haven't heard from Keith. He's supposed to be back on Monday. Hopefully he's fine.
Do you have doubts?
Well, it's just when you don't hear from him, and I know
should
he's
I
like...
Should I be avail, just in case?
Well, I figured that you're on call 24-7. You're like
feels
the
that way.
Yeah, you're like the staff doctor,
yep.
You know? Maybe you can get some work with the Miami Dolphins, who lose to the Cincinnati Bengals 27-15. And you could look at it and say, well, Tua went out early. Of course, they lost and all that kind of stuff. And I think there is the issue with the game. But Tua Tagovailoa last week had a back injury after his head hit the turf in Miami. And he was a little wobbly and woozy. But, boy, I'll tell you, that back injury apparently cleared up pretty quick, and Tua was able to get through concussion protocol to be eligible on a short week. And I think that is a part of the discussion that we're about to get into. Is you're talking about a 3-day turnaround from playing on Sunday to playing on Thursday, and we've obviously known the inherent dangers of playing games in terms of turning it around that quick. But Tua Tagovailoa ends up with a concussion in the second quarter. For those of you who do not have Amazon Prime, here is what that Tua injury sounded like.
Tua rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down at his own 48-yard line, Josh Tupu. And, well, we saw last week, and he went down, he got up, was wobbly, the training staff comes out. I mean, last week it looked for all the world. Everybody thought head injury, concussion, passed the protocol, came back second half, led him to a victory.
And Altupo slams him to the ground. I mean, it's you think about the back, the ankle, but he gets thrown to the ground.
Again, wrenching that back, which was the issue last week.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I just, what are you looking at?
Here,
Al?
You're sitting there shaking your head already being like,
that's a good company man, NFL company man, and that's probably why he's had so many great jobs with so much great money in the bank from it. But the back, is that what you're thinking about? Because I'm thinking about a guy that I just saw with my own eyes get his second massive concussion in a 4-day span. Forget the stupid back. Don't buy the company line. Use your actual eyes and your common sense and intelligence and... I mean, that was tough to watch. I'm not usually one of these, like...
Yeah, you're the furthest thing from...
Yeah, I'm a hardo.
It's great.
That was tough to watch.
No, that was... It was when they zoomed right in, and it's a... There's a name to the response.
Fence.
Thank you. The fence response where Tua basically froze on the field. And it's funny, my wife said to me last night, she was like, don't say what I was saying in the living room on the air, because the first thing my wife thought of was, this guy's paralyzed. That's the first thing she yelled. She's like, look at him. He isn't moving. He might be paralyzed. And we were just kind of like, nah, because he sort of rolled over. But it took a while before, like, his hands kind of released and then he sort of relaxed on the field. And there was tense moments there. Like you said, like, there have been a lot of very innocuous hits that have led to big injuries. Like,
yep.
Like when Drew Bledsoe got his lung collapsed, that just looked like a hard hit on the sideline. This looked like there was long-term damage to Tua Tagovailoa.
And this would be hellacious in and of itself. Just yeah. One a Thursday night, you have no background, you have no nothing, just the you see what happened to his body on the field. But when you take into consideration 4 days prior, mm-hmm. which made me uncomfortable to watch, mm-hmm. when a man stumbles and his legs give way and then they claim, oh, no, he cleared protocols, he's got a back injury, and he's back out there. You know, the first person I thought of, because I don't know who the doctor is, I don't know who the independent neurologist is or all these other people that are involved in a decision like last Sunday, but I do know who the head coach is. And your name is tied to Tua. You put him back out there. You can tell me the doctors cleared him. I don't know their names or their faces. Mike McDaniel, pint-sized comedian, guy who's a genius and all these things, and he was born to be a coach and all that. You put that guy in position mm-hmm. to have that injury happen. And we know the system failed Tua here. I don't know what Tua's level of responsibility is, right, to be an advocate for himself. Well, we'll hear some of that later.
I think
but the system
yeah.
failed Tua. They put him back out there. And one thing we've heard, repetitive concussions, multiple concussions in a short period of time
yeah.
are like multiplies it by a factor of whatever. It's way worse.
It's kind of like having three or four.
And I mean, this would have been like, you know, remember when Luke Kuechly drove off crying when he had his concussion, he was bawling his eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like, okay, put him back out there on Thursday night. That's kind of what they did to Tua. And I think this is going to lead to significant changes. I mean, I don't know about lawsuits and things of that nature,
oh,
but there
I
has
don't.
To be changes.
Nah.
Has to be changes.
There should be, but there won't be.
There has to be.
Because here's the thing with Tua.
Wait, wait until a guy dies on the field?
Well, look, Peyton Manning even exposed us to this when they started to put in these sort of concussion protocol, when they put in the concussion protocols when he was in the league. He openly admitted, hey, yeah, I went dum-dum on the test that they give us, so that way if I get concussed, I can go back into the game. And yes, there is the level of maybe Tua could advocate for himself a little bit more. But then again, doesn't this kind of get back to some of the Mac Jones discussion that we've had this week? It is in the nature of the overwhelming majority of these guys that they want to get out there and they want to play. And if Tua was able to pass the test, then does Tua have to stand up and say, I passed the test, which I wanted to do, by the way, because I'd like to play, but I'm going to shift all the blame of me getting out there on someone else? Or it feels like everybody is coming down on Mike McDaniel, the NFL, the organization. Where was the NFLPA? Aren't players more educated than they've ever been before when it comes to concussions and protocols and things like that? Like, this guy passed it and said, hey, I'm good enough to go back out there. And it's not like they don't have education. This isn't the 90s and the early 2000s when you and I were first
yep.
getting to cover the league, where it was crack the smelling salts, here you go. We didn't really care about it. Now there's a culture in the NFL where you can raise your hand and say, I'm effed up, I shouldn't go play. And he didn't do that.
Except it's a brain injury. I would agree with you, every other part of the body. Like, be your own advocate. You got to take responsibility. Look out for number one. It's what I wrote this morning, actually, on the website. Mac needs to look out for number one himself.
WEEI.com.
Please read. But a brain injury? I don't know the ramifications of the brain injury 4 seconds after it happened, 4 minutes after it happened, 4 hours, 4 days, right? Like, it's the brain. That makes it different to me. Like, it could affect your ability,
of course,
to make a sound decision.
It's the right? most important injury development that we have had in the last 15 years in the NFL, meaning that the culture is now you can raise your hand, you can say you're not right, and that there is a protocol to go through.
But what if you can't? Like, it's an old joke cliche, the guy getting up and jogging to the wrong sideline or the wrong huddle, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that tells you right there, he is not of right mind. He doesn't know exactly what's going on. And yet, we're going to put responsibility on that guy to say, I'm okay. Because I know for a fact, people have gamed the tests. It's been happening since I was in college.
That's exactly
like,
right.
Hey, you know, you do it slower than you normally yep. would. So when you do it on the sideline, if you're slower, it just equals out. And it might be a little faster. And they're like, oh, he's flying through these answers. He's
and Peyton Manning admitted it.
Right. They all do it. And that's fine. That's a different issue that probably needs to be dealt with in a different way. But I'm not going to blame the guy who just had his brain rattled on the turf for wanting to go back in, right? That's just who he is. And then you mix in the bigger picture spot that Tua's in, right? Everybody says his career's on the line this year. Mm-hmm. We gave you every weapon you need. We gave you an offensive-minded coach. If you don't make hay now, you're out of work. Teddy Bridgewater ain't a bad quarterback. He's not terrible, right? So he knows Teddy Bridgewater comes in. He might dump it off twice to Waddle and Hill and throw, you know, 300 yards passing. And mm-hmm. everybody's like, huh, we don't need two anymore. So, yes, there's pressure. But I'm not going to put it on the guy's brain who is messed up right now to be responsible for himself. I'm going to put it on the adults in the room, the coach, the doctor, the trainer, to say, huh, that doesn't look right. He probably shouldn't go back out there today.
Well, Mike McDaniel, after the game, basically said these kinds of things would never happen on my watch.
Yeah, otherwise we would have reported him having a head injury. I mean, that's why the NFL has these protocols. And there's not, like every single NFL game that is played, there's an independent specialist that specializes in the specialty of brain matter. So, yeah, for me, as long as I'm coaching here, if there's any, you know, I'm not going to fudge that whole situation. If there's any sort of inclination that someone has a concussion, they go into concussion protocol, and it's very strict. People don't vary or stray. We don't mess with that. Never have. And as long as I'm the head coach, that will never be an issue that you guys have to worry about.
Hey, Gresh, if you're watching on Twitch, you can have this.
Oh.
I'm passing you the buck that I had in my pocket.
Oh, really?
Holy, passing the buck. There's a specialist who specializes
John,
in the
dollar.
Specialty. Like,
Hart
what is
gave
he?
Me a dollar.
Is he going to tell me he couldn't bench Tua anytime he wanted? He couldn't go above and beyond? I understand he wants to distance himself from pressuring the player to get back on the field or pressuring the medical staff, but your name is tied to Tua. If you wanted to, you can say, I know they cleared him, but he just doesn't look quite right to me. He didn't look quite right to me. Mike McDaniel, be the adult in the room. It's your responsibility. I've heard Bill say it a million times, and we can debate Bill Belichick, truth or not, but nothing's more important than the health of your players because they're your product. They're your horses.
Okay.
That guy's a fraud. That was a terrible answer right there. Terrible answer.
So last weekend, all of us sat by and didn't even think about Jameis Winston playing with not one, not two, not three, but four broken vertebrae in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
His neck could snap like that, and there could be a real calamity on the field. Well, it's not that big a deal, but even though Tua passed the concussion protocol, which is an indictment on the protocol probably.
Which is bunk.
He goes out and has this happen, and it's a massive deal. Meanwhile, Jameis Winston might have been, and you could say it for anybody, but they were all assuming the risk of one hit could paralyze him.
But that's every
hit. He played
hit.
With a broken neck. But
that's
again,
a tangible injury in that shows world, up on a scan that they've experienced.
And they put him out there.
You don't think concussions are different than every other injury?
No, listen.
No one knows what a concussion is
I
yet.
Absolutely do. In fact, for those of you who are watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Chris Nowinski from the Concussion Legacy Foundation Institute, right?
Yes.
Former WWE wrestler, former Harvard football player. He tweeted out before the game last night, if Tua takes the field tonight, it's a massive step back for hashtag concussion care in the NFL. If he has a second concussion that destroys his season or career, everyone involved will be sued and should lose their job, coaches included. We all saw it. Even they must know this isn't right.
Yeah, exactly. I could not agree with him more.
Okay, but to think that Tua Tagovailoa couldn't raise his own hand and say, maybe I shouldn't play. If we were in the era of guys not being aware of concussions and the impact, I would completely throw all of this on the NFL and the coaching staff. And they do have to share a big brunt of this.
Yeah.
But at one point, is there the personal responsibility of the player where, yes, you might have passed the protocol, but do you have a discussion with someone about coming out, or is everybody just like, coach, I'm ready to go? Coach is off the hook. You passed the protocol.
So he doesn't have to trust the doctors? Like, at what point, where's that line? That's the problem the player is put in. He has pressure to play, whether it's internal to save his own job or external from the team and the coaches and teammates.
And there's the whole saving players from themselves. Tomlin sat down Ryan Clark once, which I think it was it? I can't. It might have been sickle cell or something like that. And he was cleared to play. Like Ryan Clark was clear. Mike Tomlin didn't play him.
Thank you, Mike Tomlin.
So the coach did it.
So he didn't pass the buck like Mike McDaniel just did.
Then do we assume that Dennis Allen, the coach of the Saints, is scum too because he put a guy out there with a broken stack of dimes?
See, I don't equate broken bone to brain injury. Bones are well-studied, well-known, well-scanned, well-x-rayed. There's a history.
Well,
the brain, they know nothing.
Well, the brain and the spinal cord are pretty connected.
But they know nothing about the brain. Like, they put Peyton Manning out there with fused vertebrae. They put Rob Gronkowski out there after discectomies or whatever he had. There is a track record. They know so little right now about the brain and concussions and CTE. They're still in the infancy. I know it feels like we've been dealing with this for whatever it is now, 20 years.
No, it very much is the infancy of it all.
It is a significant gray area. How to diagnose it? When do the symptoms come? When are the symptoms covered up? What am I looking for? I would just look at visual. The visual of Tua last week, would you have put him back out there?
Just
the pure visual.
No, God,
okay.
No.
So you're an adult.
No.
You have common sense and eyes.
Yeah,
and
I
you can
have.
See. I'm no doctor, but that don't look right.
Well, and here's the thing. If it were Sunday to Sunday, I might not be as concerned about it. Considering
right.
It was a short week, that's what. But again, the NFL has all these independent people sitting in the stands looking for this stuff.
Yeah, but that's passing the buck. That's why I think Mike McDaniel passed
the buck. But again, but with Mike,
don't blame me. Can you sleep at night, Mike McDaniel?
But again,
because you can blame them, but it's your fault.
This is Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Devin, you just said something about the owners didn't like the look of the trash talk. Do you think Goodell and the majority of the owners care about the safety of the players in the NFL?
I think their job is to grow the business. And I would say that's what they care about most, to grow the business. I don't think they want to see guys go out there and get hurt every play or anything. But, you know, I think the job is to grow the business.
So are there enough guys in the NFL who are evolved as Devin McCourty is, who joined the Greg Hill Show earlier today? And they asked him about Goodell and the owners and do they care? And he's like, well, they're growing the business. Players, same thing. They're in business. For them, it's be out on the field. Here's the thing. I don't want people to think that I am some sort of concussion truther or something like that. You know what I mean? Like the work that Chris Nowinski is doing right now, 50 years from now, will be viewed as life-changing, life-saving. The NFL needed to take concussion seriously. But it's just hard for me to sit here and say, well, the NFL's a bunch of greedy bastards and they don't care about player safety, which, by the way, they don't. And to sit here and think that the coach, even though the coach can say, hey, they got these people that are experienced in this stuff and they didn't pull the guy off the field and they okayed him to go back out there, but the coach is supposed to be the one to just make the unilateral decision. Now we're hearing stories of players policing players. Andrew Whitworth told one in the postgame last night. The overwhelming majority of the blame on this goes towards the league and others who are maybe failing some of the players. But when we have players that are going out there every week with big-time injuries, every week where there's, or I shouldn't say every week, but you've got people like Peyton Manning who have been like, yep, I've jaked the protocol before.
Mm-hmm.
The players also have to take it seriously. And I think there are some, maybe a 13, 14-year veteran like Devin McCourty that do, and there's maybe a third-year guy who's trying to keep his job and might have a roster bonus tied into being upright and playing in that game who might push it a little bit. And that's where it's not like the players are in the dark anymore. If this were 2004, you'd be screaming for the players because there wasn't education. Now we've got 15 years of education at every level of football on this. And to think that Tua didn't at least, his brain was so scrambled that he can go out and play in an NFL game, but he's incapable of determining whether he should be out there or not. That's where I sort of, like the players have to assume some level of culpability here as well.
They do, and I agree with that. Like, they are, their eyes should be more wide open now than they were 20 years ago, or certainly 40 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't a sneak up on the injury anymore.
But there are still pressures, and I also don't. I agree with Devin in that the league's job is to grow the pie. Basically, it's a business.
Yeah, they're the business end. Yep.
But I think the NFL understands that. For example, if Tua is what he's supposed to be, a franchise QB.
Mm-hmm.
His career is part of the growing the business. You want him in Miami for the next 10 years, throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and everybody else and making – right? Like, they're not just throwing him out there because, oh, it's a dime a dozen. No, no, no. The league has actually proven in recent years there's not 32 good quarterbacks to go around. They need those guys. So I don't think they intentionally just toss him to the side and we'll get another quarterback. It's just – there is, and I still think some of it is the nature of the game and the business. Like, mm-hmm. hell – started when you're in like high school doing gassers and you got to push yourself past what you think the breaking point is, right? Wherever that breaking point is, we're going to go past it.
Are you injured or are you hurt kind of thing?
100%. And why are we more evolved, right? Yeah, probably. Is that still there? Absolutely. And it's easy for Devin McCourty as a veteran, established guy, more than, as you said, third-year guy whose job might be on the line.
617-779-7937. We will continue this Tua discussion with you. But joining us right now on this Patriots Friday on WEEI is the Green Goblin, Jalen Mills. He'll join us on the Harbor One Hotline. He is sponsored by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest price on Michelin tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. By Zuti, build any app your company needs in a week. By Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Windows dealer. And by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Jalen Mills, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm all as well, man. How are you guys?
Well, we're pretty good, and obviously you joined us right as we were talking about last night with Tua Tagovailoa and the concussion and the injury and him basically freezing up on the field. A, did you see that, Jalen Mills? And B, if you did as an NFL player, what did you make of that whole Tua situation?
Yeah, definitely watched it, you know, just watching the game in general. And, you know, as soon as you see it, you know, well, for my reaction was, you know, man, I hope he's okay. You see that with quarterbacks or a lot of times with runners when they do get slammed down and, you know, they get that whiplash effect and the helmet hits that turf. A lot of times that is what happens. So, I mean, I think he's just wish well for him and hope he makes a healthy recovery off that concussion.
Jalen, obviously most of America is watching that game last night. I'm guessing that is water cooler talk this morning from parents to fans to former players. Is it a talking point within the locker room? Not getting into specifics, but is that type of hit and injury and concern, is that a talking point today?
I wouldn't say a talking point. Of course, you know, you had a couple guys who may have watched the game. And it's man, did you see what happened to Tua? And you can't miss it. It's all over ESPN right now. It's all over everywhere, social media, everything. So, like I said, I think that's the biggest thing with that is, you know, everybody just wishing him well. I hope he makes a strong recovery and get back to playing good ball.
Jalen, I want to ask you, you came out of a big program. You come into the NFL and, you know, the education on concussions has really advanced over the years. But what was your perspective on it when you came into the league versus now being a vested veteran who's dealt with the physicality of the NFL and seen it? Has your either thoughts or views on concussions and the way you react to it or the way you react to it as a teammate changed now that you've been in the league for a couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about, granted, I played in the SEC at LSU and talking about the NFL, it's guys are, you know, they are bigger, stronger, faster, they hit harder, you know, the contact is, you know, more violent. So anytime you do see a guy go down with a concussion, you know, you hope it's just something minor. And you also hope, you know, us as football players growing up, you know, from Pee Wee, you know, from back then, is you got hit, you had a headache, you know, shake it off a little bit. Now it's something that I think in the NFL has done a great job with, you know, taking it a little more serious. We have the baseline test that everybody has to take, and all the concussion protocols that you have to go through to get cleared. It can be a hassle, but just knowing that, you know, they kind of feel like as a player, it kind of does give you that safety that you know when you go back out there that you should be ready to play.
Jalen, consecutive weeks here, you guys as a defense face two pretty special quarterbacks, athletes, former MVPs, Lamar and his running ability. This week, I know Aaron Rodgers keeps plays alive with his feet, but what are the challenges that are different, unique to Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the greatest of all time?
I mean, I think it's that right there, exactly what you just said, one of the greatest of all time. It's not too much is going to trick this guy. I think it's just about playing fundamental defense, you know, playing our style of defense and, you know, capitalizing, you know, when we get those opportunities to make turnovers or get down on third down, get off on third down, whatever that may be. We have to capitalize that on defense and get our offense as many opportunities to stay on the field, because once that guy's on the field, as you guys know, he can roll left, he can roll right, and at the flick of the wrist, the ball's 60 yards down the field on a rope. So I think that's just it, us capitalizing on defense.
Jalen Mills with Gresh and Keith. Andy Hart is in for Keith today. He joins us on this Patriots Friday, and Jalen is on the Harbor One hotline. On the road, in that environment, you know, you're a vested veteran, Jalen. You've been around the league a little bit, but when you walk into what arguably might be the cathedral of the NFL, you know, is there any worry for maybe some of the younger guys then get swallowed up in that environment where it's the whole looking around being, holy crap, this is really Lambeau Field?
Right. I mean, I think just as a young guy, you hear about, like you just said, oh, this is Lambeau Field, the Lambeau Leap, and, you know, those fans up there, man, they're crazy about their football. And I just think us as veteran guys, you know, throughout this week, you know, just trying to tell those guys, you know, what they can expect, you know, how that place is going to be hostile when we come out there. And it is a historic place. You know, they have all the pitchers and everything, you know, coming down out of the tunnel of the great players that's been there. And just telling those young guys, you know, just keep your eyes down, focus on the task at hand and the goal, and that's to play fundamental football and go out there and get a win in Lambeau, which is hard to do, and we have to pull this one off.
Jalen, I'm going to ask this question hopefully respectfully, and I hope you receive it in the way it's intended. Pro Football Focus is obviously a big part of the NFL world fan experience right now, and their grades, whatever you think of them. Right now, you're not very highly rated by PFF. I'm wondering, are you aware of that? Do you care about that? And do you think that's indicative of the way you've played through the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, not too much worried about that, man. With PFF, man, they have a job. I have a job to do, and my job is to go out here and help this football team win football games. So, yeah, that's one of the things that I'm not too much focused on.
Jalen Mills with us. How are you feeling week to week, last week to this week? Are you better than you were? I've heard that a lot of people are day by day in the organization down there. Where are you at in terms of getting back to 100%?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely better this week than I was last week for sure. And, you know, that's the goal. And that's a daily thing, you know, as far as everything, mentally, physically, you know, my well-being, everything.
When I was down there this week in the locker room, I noticed something. I wasn't peering into the lockers, but if I'm not wrong, all of you defensive backs wear the face masks now, the face shields. Why is that? Is that just a coincidence? Is it drip, as the kids would say, or is there a tangible value?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I mean, it's kind of different strokes for different folks. You know, some people it is kind of the look thing. You know, sometimes, you know, those face shields, you know, they can't protect you sometimes. You know, we're looking up for those nine balls, man. Those deep passes kind of like block out the sun a little bit, depending on if you have eye guard underneath there as well. So I think it's kind of a multitude of things.
How much of it, Jalen, when you play a truly great quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers, is it trying to attack the people around him versus trying to either outsmart or outplay a guy that is a legend who has seen it all, who very rarely makes mistakes? Is it about the other 10 for you guys on defense in terms of trying to attack the flaws to slow down that one guy who is great?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all 11. At the end of the day, it starts and it starts and it ends with 12. And it's more of the man in front of you for this defense, do your job. You know what I'm saying? And everything else will take care of itself, whether it's the pass rush trying to get to him. He has a great offensive line. Whether it's the running backs and on our linebackers or our secondary versus their receivers. It's going to be a team thing. It's not more than just trying to take this away from him or whatever, because he is great. But, you know, if we make the plays that come to us, you know, it goes in our favor.
Along those lines, he's kind of building a rapport with some young receivers. What have you seen on tape from maybe Dobbs or even Watson, the big, tall speed burner, as he gets used to those younger targets?
Yeah. You see, you know, from week one and to their last game, you know, that they continue to grow. He's continued to get in confidence with them, making checks with those guys. That's one of the things that I look at, you know, when you are talking to young receivers, can he make the checks to those guys and you see those guys execute a play, whether it's checking to a runner, checking to a pass. And you're seeing that those guys are growing and he's getting more comfortable with them.
Jalen Mills, stay upright, stay healthy, have a great game on Sunday, and we will catch you next Friday here on Patriots Friday on WEEI. Thank you, friend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jalen.
All right, there goes Jalen Mills, and he is brought to us on this Patriots Friday by Town Fair Tire. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody, by Zudy. Build any app your company needs in a week. Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Windows dealer, and by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Anything that jumped out to you, even on those two questions? It was... I thought they were pretty guarded answers there from Jalen.
I think that's a tough spot for a player. It's hard to be – like, I look at the guys crowded around Tua last night as he's getting strapped to a backboard and wheeled off and thinking, yeah, in about 4 minutes when the commercial break ends, you guys need to go back out and hit each other again. And
sure.
Like, that's a tough spot. And even at a distance, you're an NFL player. You know injuries are part of it. My biggest takeaway, though, would be Jalen Mills and Andy Hart have something very important in common. We don't give a rat's ass what Pro Football Focus thinks.
All right, there you go. That is good. I thought you were going to look for praise by being a honky dropping the word drip on the radio.
That's what the kids say these days. You know how I know that? I hear the kids say it. I don't use it.
You have no drip, coach.
I have the least drip of anybody on the planet, and I'm okay with that. Although you're not all that drippy yourself, probably.
What, are you kidding me? Well, I don't use those words. And I don't like being around people. And you know that.
That's a good point. I don't really either.
And you don't either.
Nope,
but you see, because you have kids that are like actively playing things, you're going to coach them.
And occasionally I have to check in on their social media to make sure they're not saying or doing dumb stuff. So you come across lingo and things they care about, and you monitor these things.
Yeah, I'm only a step.
That's just
right.
Hands off.
That's right.
You take a couple shots from afar.
That's right. I can take the step backwards and be like, I didn't create them. We got a couple of folks who do want to talk about Tua. 617-779-7937.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
This is family business, and this is for the family that can't be with us. And this is for my cousin locked down, all the answers in us. This is why I spit it in my song so sweet.
1047, Gresh and Keith, Andy Harden for one more day. Keith will be back on Monday. WEEI Football Sundays with me and Wiggy from 10 a.m. to about 12:30. And then it is Hart and Fitzy after the game on Sunday. How late are y'all going until? Are you? Do you know how? Because this game's going to end at like, what, 7:45 or so. And I know normally we would go into Sunday Night Football. So, well, I caught you off guard. I didn't know that you didn't know.
I would go into my Sling app where it schedules my appearances on said radio station.
I was going to say, are you guys going until 11? I think you should just keep doing the post. I mean, start.
My schedule says 4 to 6:15.
For the post game.
I believe, isn't this? Oh, that was last Sunday. Sorry.
Oh, what are we
go
doing here?
My schedule.
Are you concussed?
7:30 to 10.
7:30 to 10. So then that feels like a Sunday Night Football joint in progress, and then into the Gresh Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's how it sounds.
I was going to say I'd like you guys to just take it right into my show and be the lead in. That'd be great.
We could.
Well, it means you'd be here till 11:45.
But we'll have the fans all riled up. We've been getting great calls. I'm sure there will be great reaction to Brian Hoyer's first start in a couple years.
Well, we're
going to... He's due for a win, though.
We are going to get into that because, yes, everyone is talking about Tua and what happened on Thursday Night Football last night, but... Boy, there's a whole bunch of this football game that we are going to start to unpack a little over 10 minutes from now. Ray in Boston has been hanging to talk about Tua. Ray, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys? First of all, I just want to say, I hope he gets better. That was disgusting to watch. Mm-hmm. And I want to preface saying that because what I'm about to say might seem cruel, but there's nobody. Tua has nobody to blame but himself because the safety for the quarterback is in the pocket. When you get outside of the pocket and start making moves and you have a 300-pound freight train running at you, you should go down. You shouldn't try to juke him. And he's going to make more money than all three of us put together in his career. So he's playing for keeps. He's playing gladiator. And I hate to see it, but he needs to protect himself better. It's nobody's fault but his own. It sounds cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it does. And I'm not sure it's totally accurate.
Yeah.
He has a portion, old school blame pie. We can give him a slice.
Yeah.
But nobody to blame but himself.
But I can't. Yeah. And that's the thing. And I also can't buy the whole in the pocket, out of the pocket argument. People can get hurt anywhere. And again, This comes down to the clearing of a player to play. And I still think if this were on a Sunday, I don't think people would be outraged. The fact that it was on a Thursday night, that adds a layer to this that not only players, but I think people are going to jump on. Hey, I guess here's the question. You said there's got to be change that will come from this.
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Yes. I think there absolutely has
you
to
really,
be.
This will be a tidal wave that will force. Do you think the other players are going to be like, these independent neurologists are not doing the job, and the coaches are all out to get us, and the concussion protocol is all bunk. We need to now do something different with it. Oh, where's my check because I got my roster bonus for playing this week?
Tidal wave is strong. Do I think it's a tidal wave of change? No. But do I think there will be some change? The tide will turn a little bit, maybe, whatever.
Can I redirect, Your Honor?
Sure.
Will there be a tidal wave of reaction from players
that
will lead to change? Or will this be, hey, man, I got $50,000 a game roster bonuses that I'd like to earn, and I don't want to screw it up?
No, I think there will be significant player reaction. We saw it last night. Matt Judon was one of those that was immediately like, he shouldn't have been out there. This was preventable. And I agree with him. The one thing I want to push back on may have even been our boy Mutt last night that I was listening to.
Uh-oh.
Before this even happened.
Okay.
I believe. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But
he had Tua plus 450 for a concussion?
Maybe. But I don't believe Tua was out there because this was Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football and they wanted Tua versus Joe Burrow as opposed to Bridgewater versus Joe Burrow.
Completely
I don't think
agree.
That played into it. I think he's out there because he's the starting quarterback of the Dolphins. They believe he gives them a better chance to win. They're trying to win a game. Football players are put on the field, if at all possible, type thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I know business drives decisions, but it wasn't direct business. Ooh, we owe Amazon Prime in week four to have Tua on the field. We can't I don't believe
Do
that.
Do we really think less people would have watched if they said that Teddy Bridgewater was the starter going in?
No. No. I don't. It's the only game on.
They're at the 13 to 15 million mark. And again, for Amazon Prime, for anybody, those are stupid numbers.
Right. So we can remove that aspect from it.
Agreed.
And just look at it more of a culture problem still in football, the culture of I have to play, be damned, I'm putting my body on the line.
Well,
right?
The NFLPA is a part of that because if you had contracts that weren't written on Charmin, maybe players wouldn't feel like I've made the joke three times about the whole, hey, I got a $50,000 roster bonus for today's game. Well, what are you going to do to get that money?
Yeah.
Are you even going to report that you got your running lights crossed in a game because your money is tied into your participation in some instances.
So whether Tua has some blame, a lot of blame, as the caller said, has no one to blame but himself.
That's a little rough.
Seems strong. I think there is some blame that certainly goes with the medical staffs and the independent neurologists. But if those failed him, somebody failed him. Let's just go with the premise somebody failed him and put him back out there.
Fair.
Last Sunday and this Thursday night. Why, Gresh, couldn't there be a a state athletic commission, like there is in other sports, boxing, UFC, those types of ring sports, that you have to be licensed within the place you're performing in order to perform. If you're not worthy, because how many times have we heard it at the end of a boxer's career? Oh, he'll never get licensed in this state again. He's toast. He's punch drunk. He's moved on. Why couldn't there be a Massachusetts athletic commission that oversees whether when you go to Gillette Stadium to play football, make sure everybody's cleared?
It would be a logistical disaster.
Less disastrous than, I don't know, some guy getting thrown back out on the field and his career and his life being thrown into jeopardy?
Or what would be worse, turn it over to individual state athletic commissions that could be run or people appointed by politicos who are much easier to be able to bribe to look the other way to allow whomever to play whenever they want to play. And again, I get it, it's entertainment, yada, yada. But in the 80s and the 90s, in the world of pro wrestling, and even in the 70s, there were the state athletic commissions where it was nothing more than some guys who wanted a ringside seat and a payoff for the night so they could look the other way and then do the whole. To me, if you take it, this is going to sound weird, but if you take it, as crazy as it sounds, out of the NFL's hands and you go state by state, well, what's Texas going to think versus Massachusetts? What's Florida going to think versus Nevada? Then what does it just turn into? Hey, how much does it take, brother?
Right.
How much does it take?
It's a fair question. I just wonder, so they added this independent guy.
And if you do it for the NFL, in theory, you then have to do it for every other sport.
Yes and no. It's a physical, violent sport. Because
then you're just targeting the NFL then.
Yeah, but baseball.
Hockey's not violent?
Hockey would be in the conversation. I don't think basketball.
Baseball players did
tennis,
steroids.
Do other you have, things.
Would the Massachusetts State Athletic Commission have to, even though MLB would have their own rules, would they have their own rules over people like you using Andro?
I mean, they do it with taxes, right? There's some states that tax visiting athletes and some states that don't.
Right, that's
so they already
different
do it
because
in
you're,
a bureaucratical
right.
sense.
And we want more politicos involved in this? That's
no,
what
but
we
what
need.
We want is
Ted
less.
Ted Cruz to become the head of the Texas State Athletic Commission. Good
but don't
Lord.
We want less athletes going back on the field when they shouldn't be on the field?
I'd like to think that the NFL should be able to police this. And again, even Andrew Whitworth last night told a story on Amazon Prime. I was concussed. I went back in the game. The guy playing beside me said, I'm uncomfortable. You got to get him out of here. Maybe it's just more of that.
I think there needs to be more of that. And I actually think there is more of that. I didn't know the Devin McCourty story about Gerard Mayo being one of those guys that would look into a teammate's eyes and say,
get out of here.
You're not right.
No,
you're not right. And if you get more of that culture, mm-hmm. more of that culture spreads, then yes, that is a way to grow in the right direction.
A texter quickly said, yep, that's what we need, more government. And
MAGA hot.
And Finn in the Twitch chat said, I would nominate Courtney to be president of the Massachusetts State Athletic Commission.
So and I know it's
I'm
tough
sure there is
because
one,
you're right. If Chris Nowitzki was the guy, no one would play, right? And then there's some other hardo like you that's like slapping him on the ass, telling him to get out there.
I would not be that bad. I would at least hand him some smelling salts and ask him if he knows what planet he's on.
What day is it?
We're going to get into the Patriots and the Packers next.